and a very warm welcome to Centre Stage. Good to have you with us. Now, Nelson Mandela led South Africa's transition from white minority rule in the 1990s after 27 years in prison for his political activities. Now, Madiba's unique qualities made him receive more than 250 awards over four decades, including the 1993 Nobel Peace Prize. But I think it's fair to say that the most amazing personal trait of Mandela was his being so forgiving. Come back. It's great to have you with us. A hero is really gone. Now, today we're going to talk about that hero, and we're delighted to be joined in the studio by an established political analyst. Dr. Said Abdullah Hosseini, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Pleasure is mine.
It's great to have you. Now, let me just tell you that Dr. Said Abdullah Hosseini is a well-established political analyst. He's also the director of Islamic Center of South Africa in Johannesburg and well-versed in the issues pertaining to this very important country. Time for a short break.
A hero left us last week. The anti-apartheid icon and former South African President Nelson Mandela died on Thursday, December the 6th, at the age of 95 after months of struggling with illness. Mandela led South Africa's transition from white minority rule in the 1990s after 27 long years in prison for his outstanding political activities. President Jacob Zuma made the announcement that he had died peacefully, surrounded by his family. He added, quote, "Our nation has lost its greatest son. Although we knew that this day would come, nothing can diminish our sense of a profound and enduring loss. In the meantime, South Africans gathered outside the home of Nelson Mandela in Johannesburg on Friday, singing and chanting slogans to celebrate his life. Crowds also gathered outside the house where Mandela died, some flying South African flags and wearing the shirts of the governing African National Congress, which Mandela once led. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani expressed heartfelt condolences to the president and people of South Africa over the demise of Mandela on Friday. In a message to Zuma, Rouhani said, "Nelson Mandela had an unshakable faith in the freedom and equality of all human beings, not only in his country of South Africa, but also across the globe." Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif, Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani, and a number of other senior Iranian officials also paid tribute to Mandela. Heads of state and officials in many other countries across the world also paid glowing tribute to the iconic leader on Friday. The Nobel Peace Prize laureate was one of the world's most revered statesmen after preaching reconciliation despite being in prison for 27 years. His fellow campaigner against apartheid, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, said he was not only an amazing gift to humankind, he made South Africans and Africans feel good about being who we are. He made us walk tall. God be praised.
Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, I'm just told that we also have the pleasure of being joined over the phone by Mr. Ibrahim Ismail Ibrahim, Deputy Foreign Minister of South Africa. Mr. Ibrahim, it's a pleasure to have you on Centre Stage.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to express our condolences on this great loss.
Thank you
very much. Now, I'd like to put that first question to you. We know that Actually, Mandela died at the age of 95 on December 6th. And we know that the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Nelson Mandela, was one of the world's most revered statesmen ever. So what do you think, what quality do you think in him won him that much respect?
Well, you know, the apartheid state was a very oppressive state. And the struggle against apartheid was a very complex struggle because we had what was called colonialism of a special type. We were not fighting a colonial power that is right in another country or what they call the mother country. But colonialism had entrenched itself in South Africa with the white minority. And many people predicted that it was going to be a very bloody fight and a bloody revolution. But it didn't turn out to be a bloody fight and a bloody revolution. I think we had the courage, the foresight, the vision, and the leadership of people like Nelson Mandela, who led the African National Congress, to avoid the type of bloodshed and have a transformation, a transition that from an apartheid to a democratic country. I think that is what really won him the Nobel Peace Prize.
I think it was really difficult, wasn't it, to actually overcome the troubles, the preceding troubles which were related to racism in South Africa, in a country which is referred to as the Rainbow Nation. So how do you think he managed to overcome all those troubles?
Well, I think it had a long history. You see, he was the leader of the African National Congress. And the Congress in 1955 adopted what was called a blueprint for South Africa, which you refer to as the Freedom Charter. And in the opening statement, it says quite clearly that South Africa belongs to all who live in it, black and white. And I think there was a commitment from Mandela and the leadership of the liberation movement to bring about a democratic South Africa where all its people, whites and blacks, whether of Asian origin or mixed origin, could live peacefully in one country.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, we know that Mandela's relation with Iran was particularly interesting. In fact, Iran was the first country Mandela visited before he took office in 1994. And we know that Dr. Hosseini, there is a very nice quotation, I'd like to read that to you. He's quoted to have said, Iran is the most important ideal destination for South African people. So what are your comments on that?
First of all, I also say condolences to the South African nation and to Deputy Foreign Minister Comrade Ibrahim Ismail and all of the lovers of freedom and peace in the world. They have lost a great son. Concerning that issue, I have to say that Nelson Mandela was in jail.
Yes.
But the strugglers and those people who were busy fighting apartheid had a very good relationship with those people who were fighting with the Shah regime. At the same time, there was a good relationship enjoyed between the South African government and Iranian government. Mm. We should remember that once the South African apartheid system had only relationship with two governments. One was Israel and the other one was Iran in the time of Shah. And also some of the torturers of the SAVAK system in Iran were trained in South Africa. And even we know that the Shah's father died in South Africa. So very good relationship between Iranian regime of the Shah and also South African apartheid system. But so that itself was giving a reason for those who were fighting against Shah and those who were fighting against apartheid to have cooperation,
sort of unity.
So that is from one end. When Imam Khomeini was in Paris, he had an interview with Le Monde in that time of France. He was asked about South African racist regime. He said, as soon as we become victorious against regime of Shah, we will disconnect our relationship and discontinue our oil export to South Africa. In 1997, Iran revolution was victorious, and immediately not more than 1 month's time, the ambassador of South Africa in Tehran was asked to leave, and the importation, the export of oil from Iran to South Africa was discontinued.
Right.
And a new relationship started between the new Iranian Islamic government and those who were fighting against apartheid regime. So that takes us to the time of the victory of our brothers and our comrades in South Africa in 1994. Nelson Mandela was released in 1990, and he had twice visit to Iran.
Yes.
He met Ayatollah Khamenei in a very friendly environment, and in that meeting, even the daughters of him, Ayatollah Khamenei, was present, and a very good memories also out of his visit from Tehran. In 1994, the relationship between South Africa and Tehran was started again, and from that time up to now, the two governments are enjoying a very good relationship.
Okay, let's hope it continues also after Mandela. Right, now let's flash back to the trial that took place during the 1960s, between 1963 and 1964, in which 10 leaders of the African National Congress were tried. I'd just like to, Mr. Ibrahim, to read you some of the quotations of what Mandela actually said. We know that Mandela's closing words have been much quoted. They were reportedly spoken looking the judge full in the eyes, and his statement that he was prepared to die for the cause was strongly resisted by his lawyers. They actually feared it might itself provoke a death sentence. Now, in a concession, of course, to their concerns, Mandela inserted the words, if needs be. So let me read you that quotation. He said, quote, "During my lifetime, I have dedicated myself to this struggle of the African people. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination." Actually, he also mentioned, "I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities." And this last part is very interesting. "It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." So he actually was even prepared to die for his cause, wasn't he?
I guess, of course, he was prepared to die for his cause. I mean, I remember the Rivonia trial very well, because I was also on trial in Pietermaritzburg at the same time.
Right.
And there was close consultation between our lawyers. And one of the things his lawyer said to us, that Mandela said he was not going to deny his activities as a matter of principle. And then even if he was going to be sentenced to death, he said to his lawyer that he did not want to appeal against his death sentence. And it is the people of South Africa that's going to determine whether he's sentenced to death or not. But it was a very courageous move, and it actually tells you what President Mandela was, actually, you know. A brave, courageous leader, and he was saying to the judge that that he fought against white domination and he's prepared to fight against black domination. And when he finished that sentence, you know, even the judge was taken aback. You could hear a pin drop in the court.
Right.
And the judge then quietly said to the defense lawyer, "Who's your next witness?" It made an impression on everyone, including the apartheid judge itself. So it's a much quoted sentence, and I think that that the fact that he was laying the foundation of what we have today, a non-racial democratic South Africa.
Right. Thank you very much indeed. So Dr. Hosseini, we know that he was very courageous, but probably another quality of Nelson Mandela was his being very forgiving. I've actually come across two very interesting cases, one of which was his white jailer. He invited him as a VIP guest to his inauguration as president. And the second one is probably even more interesting, his prosecutor in the trial, who was zealous to actually in pushing for the death sentence. He was also invited to lunch. So how come that a person could be such forgiving?
That is the quality that we cherish in Mandela. And we would like this qualities to be framed and to be shown to the whole world and become an example to the young generations.
Right.
That's why we love Mandela. To be a real leader, you have to be the leader of all. And that's exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. He realized that the time of animosity and all of those hatred is past. Now I am president. And I am president of blacks and I'm president of whites. Mm. So it was, I was watching this Invictus movie. It's any time I watch this movie, I cry. It's about life of Mandela and how he managed to take South Africa to the World Cup and a lot of sport activities that supported by Mandela. But the way that he is supporting the team, especially that this Springbok team is
the white,
it's a white
rugby,
supported and a white team.
Right.
Most of the players are whites, but he doesn't mind.
Yes.
And even he is against the changings of the name when there is a meeting concerning changing of this name, which is like inclined with apartheid. He goes there and he says, I'm against it.
Mm.
And so that shows and how he deals with the captain of the team, a white person whose family is against Mandela. But he received a call personally from Mandela in his house and then inviting him to come for a breakfast. And those are the qualities that we realize in Mandela. And the way that he entered the first day in presidential palace,
yes,
and the way the whites were running away and the way he gathered them back and asked them to stay and work together was something very wonderful. Made Mandela to be a really true leader who leads everyone and who is for everyone and who forgive but not forget.
Right. Thank you very much indeed for that. Now let's take a short break. After the break, we'll try to cover some other aspects of this great hero of South Africa. So please do stay with us. Hello again, it's great to have you back with us. Now, when Mandela came out of prison, as we just discussed with Dr. Hosseini, the most extraordinary thing happened. Even though many in the white community were still dismissing him and they were actually referring to him as terrorist still at that time, he tried to understand their position and his gestures communicated more eloquently than words. And we talked about Mr. Ibrahim, two very outstanding examples. So in your opinion, how could this quality in Mandela, his being so forgiving, actually affect the how things took shape after Mandela took office as president?
As he rightly quoted two examples of him inviting his jailer and his prosecutor, but there's another important example. He also went and met and had tea with the wives of the former apartheid presidents, include the wife of Dr. Verwoerd, who was the most vicious of the apartheid presidents. So he was stretching his hands to even the most reactionary wives to say that, no, let us build, let us come together now, and let us put aside our past differences and build a common society. When he came out of jail, the first thing he said to us, you know, De Klerk, he's an honorable man.
Right.
And the question why you say he's an honorable man, you see, I mean, he's the one that put us in jail, he's the one who oppressed us. He says, no, he's an honorable man, he's given me his word, and I'm prepared to work with him. So he was able to stretch his hand out to all sections of the society, and particularly those vicious apartheid governments and the presidents and the wives, mm-hmm. to say that, look, whatever happened in the past, it is in our interest, both black and white, that we should build, that we should not continue our conflict, but come together and build a free, democratic South Africa where all people can enjoy full democratic right.
Right. And probably one interesting part of his quotations is that he refers to white domination and also to black domination. So he condones both of them, doesn't he?
Yes, you see, I was a prisoner on Robben Island in the late 80s, and he was in Victor Verster prison, and he would invite some of us to go to his prison. Well, he had a little house there that in the prison complex, and he would relate to us what type of correspondence he was having, mm-hmm. both with de Klerk and Botha. But what struck me in one of the correspondence, he said that, look, there should be majority rule. There's mm-hmm. no compromise in that.
Right.
There should be majority rule. At the same time, we must address the concerns and the fears of the white minority.
Mm, right.
So when he came out, the two things went together. See? That he felt that while we fought white domination, we should not replace white domination with black domination.
Right.
And in the very early stages, he said, no, we must have majority rule, we must have one person, one vote, but you must also not forget the concerns and the fears of the white minority, and you need to address that. And the way to address it, not to say that we are not going to have black domination in the place of white domination.
Right, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, Dr. Hosseini, we know that Mandela disagreed with some world leaders on certain issues. For example, he didn't support the Iraqi war. And we know that in the case of, for example, Palestine, he was quite courageous, and he's got a very interesting quotation that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians. So even in the cases that he disagreed with some world leaders, they respect him and support him. So probably this is really quite important, isn't it, to disagree with someone and still win their respect. So what are your comments about the Mandela's stance toward world issues, for example, the Palestinian case and also war against Iraq and those issues in the Middle East?
That is one of his greatest qualities, that at the same time that he disagree with his vicious enemy, at the same time he goes and he agrees and he managed to control his anger or go against some of his personal egos and sacrifice whatever he has, even his reputation, for the sake of his nation. For him, what was important was victory. What was important was that discrimination must be gone. The racism should not exist.
Right.
And oppression should be removed. And any decision which can lead us toward the ideals of Mandela, it was welcome by him. And I'm sure the whole world will remember him for his wise decisions and for his steadiness on his ideals. Of course, he had his own personal ideas about different issues. He had differences with a lot of issues which happened, but at the end of the day, he taught us, and he practically, in his lifetime, he practiced that in spite of you being disagreeing with some other leaders or with some other nominations or some other schools of thought, you can still work with them.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Now, Mr. Ibrahim, we know that we can have you just for a couple of more minutes, unfortunately. So let me put that last question to you, which I think is a very important question. We actually know that with Mandela's role as a national symbol in mind, some alarmists have already speculated that the end of Mandela's life could literally undermine the South African state's social foundation. So what's your prognosis of South Africa after Mandela? How worried are you about the future of this amazing country?
No, I'm not worried at all, because South Africa is a constitutional state. And even after Mandela left a government, we have respected the constitutionality of this country. Parliament is not supreme. Parliament cannot pass any laws. They can only pass laws which is in accordance with the constitution. There have been occasions when some laws were challenged in the constitutional court. Some, of course, we won, and the others, the constitutional court said that no, it was unconstitutional, and everybody accepted. We have a constitutional court, we have an independent judiciary, and we have a very, very free press, a free media, and we have a very, very vibrant civil society. And we've got institutions here like the public protector, we've got the Human Rights Commission. I think Mandela had laid the foundation, a firm foundation for a free and democratic, and I don't see that being threatened by any means after Mandela's demise.
Right. And the last question that I have is probably not very much related to the questions I already asked. While we're watching the scenes, we see scenes of mourning and at the same time celebration. So how could you just elaborate on those two different sort of things? Because I think to some of our viewers, it may be interesting to know that some are mourning and some are celebrating. So what do these two different acts portray?
Well, look, I mean, I think it probably got something has to do with the African culture. But while we are mourning the death of Mandela, we were celebrating his life.
Yes.
The life he's led, the contribution he's made. So the two things go together, that there is a celebration to celebrate the life of Mandela, his teaching, what he taught us, and the contribution that he made to our country and to the international community as a whole. So I think that goes together, and I think it has to do, I think, something with the African culture. But I think that is what happens when a prominent leader dies. We begin to celebrate his life, not just to mourn his death.
Great. Mr. Ibrahim Ismail Ibrahim, Deputy Foreign Minister of South Africa, thank you very much indeed for joining us today on Centre Stage. It was great to have you with us. Now it's time for a short break, and after the break, we'll have a Centre Stage online search for you. Hello again and welcome back. Now we're going to have a look at some of the some pieces of news which have actually took your attention over the course of the last week. And let's start with this one. It's a very, I have to tell you that these pictures, most of them are taken from Yahoo. So this is Nelson Mandela and in peace Madiba. Madiba is actually his, I think.
That means grandfather.
Grandfather.
Or, yeah.
But they also call him
big man.
Son of South Africa.
No,
is he
no.
the
no,
grandfather
Madiba
or son?
Meaning grandfather.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's a very nice picture, which, I mean, look at his face. It shows that he's really determined.
Exactly.
And he's very, looks very kind in that picture. Mm. Okay, this, I think this picture really is
combination of whites and
yes.
blacks.
Yes. I think
mourning.
Yes, and mourning. Probably couldn't imagine that happening 60 years ago,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, exactly.
But now both of them are mourning, you know, the loss of this great leader. Okay, let's go to our next web page. This is Mandela backed Palestinian cause, and according to Abbas, and he quoted a very interesting quotation about Palestine, and that I just want to read that.
That our freedom will not be complete without the freedom of Palestinians.
Exactly, and that's a very strong quotation, isn't it? I mean, he must have been very courageous at the time.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, in spite of that, nobody dared oppose him and say that he's not a good guy, for example, even you know, those who opposed the Palestinian cause. Let's go to our next web page. So this is interesting, isn't it?
All papers are talking about
the British papers. See, even the Sun and the tabloid, and then they have the quality papers, the Times, the Independent, the Guardian. So all of them are actually reminiscent of what Mandela did. So it's, it shows that he's really taken center stage. His life is being celebrated, as well as his death. Okay, let's go to our next web page.
Hope. And that's a brick of hope.
Yes, a brick of hope.
Yes, that he has put, I think that that was laid by him.
Yes,
on that wall.
The wall of, I think, his house or one of his residence. It has to do something with Mandela, this wall. And I think this, you know, somebody's taking a picture of that, hoping to keep that picture with him so that hope still stays on. Let's go to our next web page. So this is actually from ZDF.
That is, okay.
Kuno, I think is the place that actually Mandela will...
born.
Yes, born. It says that Mandela will find peace in his birthplace, Kuno. So I think this is going to be a private probably ceremony in Kuno. This is, I think this area is where Mandela... And look at that,
your
message.
Your spirit lives on.
Yes, your spirit lives on, and that's really quite interesting. Okay, I think that was our last web page. And, I want to put the question I put to also our other guest, Dr. Hossein, and that question is about the future of South Africa. We know that, there are some analysts who really think that... of course, South Africa is a democratic nation, it has its own constitution, but at the same time we know that Mandela was really a unique person, a one-of-a-kind person. Probably, if it were somebody else assuming the office of president of South Africa, probably some bloody conflicts would take place between the white and black population. So how worried are you about the future of South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, without Mandela?
Not at all, because Mandela is not out of power today. He is out of power in 1998, while he steps down from power, and from that time he's not ruling. But the South African government is following his footstep, and the ideals laid down by Mandela is continued in the new government, and he was supervising, and whenever he was realizing that there is some problems, he was always reminding. I'm sure the South African government is a very mature democratic government, which really values the human being values, and also the indices of democracy is very clearly shown and respected in South African government, South African constitution, and I don't think the possibility of that is like zero, because in South Africa we have got freedom of press, freedom of expression, freedom of religion. I don't think that can happen.
But the thing is that in the stadium where some leaders were expressing their admirations about Mandela, when the current South African president was speaking, he didn't get much support, and the crowd were actually not very happy with him. Of course, they say that it was just elections for elective purposes, but
that exactly shows that in South Africa democracy still exists, and so that shows that the values laid down by Mandela is strongly available, and it is working in South Africa, as the people are free to express their opinion about even their president.
Okay. So let me ask you a rather personal question. I know that you've been the head of the Islamic Center at Johannesburg for a long time. So could you tell us about your personal experiences with Mandela?
I had the honor of meeting him three times. Once it was when the Long Walk to Freedom, written by Professor Fatima Mir, the late Fatima Mir, was published. And
right.
The book was launched in Durban, so I was a guest of honor there. Mandela was a president, and I had a meeting with him, and a very interesting encounter also, that the time is not with us to talk about it. In another time, later on, probably about 5-6 years after that, I had another meeting with him, that he actually even sent his greetings to our Supreme Leader in Islamic Republic of Iran, and I managed to, in fact, deliver that greetings very late. But yes, in one of the meetings, you know, I have produced a documentary called Friends of Mandela, and I have managed to speak to in fact, every single figure who was involved in a struggle. I spoke to Ahmed Katrada. I spoke to the same Ibrahim Ismail, and I've spoken to every single elements of struggle in the time of apartheid. I think all of them have expressed their opinion that when the Islamic Revolution in Iran happened, it gave us a hope that also in South Africa we can be victorious.
Right.
And personally, Nelson Mandela also told me that the victory of Islamic Revolution in Iran gives us this hope and gives us a new life in our struggle in the
time. What about your third visit?
In the third visit, when he was sick, and I just went there to, you know, to see him. He was in bed, but we just have a just personal conversation. How are you? And that's it.
We know that as a public figure, okay, he's very much loved and respected. But you know, when you see him, you know, to close up Mandela, how does he look like? What are his qualities?
Very humble. You feel that he knows you for ages, and he feel you. You know, he feel you feel in his presence that here is a friend that for a long time you're talking to him and you're living with him, and he's receiving you in such a warm manner that only a father can receive his child in his home.
And I've been told that he's also got a very good sense of humor. Is it right?
Exactly. In fact, that encounter that I had with him, it was interesting. Let me just finish it. He said, "I've got very bad memories from you, Iranian." And I asked him, "What is Madiba? What is this bad memory?" He said, when I went with Winnie to Egypt after being released from the prison, your ambassador, all ambassadors came to visit me. They all shook hands with my wife, but your ambassador actually refused to shake hands with my wife, and I don't realize why that's so I stopped now thinking if I give him protocol answers and religious answers and all of that, it doesn't work. I said, do you know, Madiba, why he refused to shake hands with Winnie? He said, I want to know. I just got that tone in my ear still. I want to know. And then I said, because our ambassadors in all over the world, they are very smart. They can see the future. He knew that you and Winnie will be divorced, so he refused to shake hands. And then he asked me, all Iranians are answering like this. I said, yes, if not, then they were not going to answer American like that. But, and then again, he
burst. The same thing didn't happen to, I think he married three times, right?
Yeah.
So that was his second, probably his second wife.
He was second wife.
Right. Okay, so it didn't happen with the third wife. Okay, thank you very much indeed. I really appreciate that.
Exactly.
So unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for the moment. But before I go, I'd like to thank again my top guest, Dr. Sayed Abdullah Hosseini, Director of Islamic Center of South Africa. And also we had Mr. Ibrahim Ismail Ibrahim, Deputy Foreign Minister of South Africa. As always, your insights are much appreciated. Thanks for coming on, for talking to us.
It was a pleasure.
And of course, for those insights. Until next week, from me, our guest today, and the rest of the team, is goodbye for now. Thanks very much indeed for watching. Thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.